pizza from the Goofy movie definitely has been like living in my head rent free since I saw it. It just they had no business making pizza look that good in a Disney animated movie from.
Hi, pals. Welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Disney, and we are joined by our good friend,
the Wookiee.
As always, Wolfpack, we are excited to bring another guest into the Wolf Den. So I am excited to bring in Mike Curley, who I went to college with, who is a big Disney fan. And Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of the show. We really appreciate it. And I'd like to start this off the way that we usually do, and that is talking about your perfect day down at Disney World. And as always, I'm going to just encourage you to remember a couple things. How'd you get down there? Who are you going with? Where are you staying? Where are some places that you need to eat along the way? And what parks are you visiting? Because here at the Wolf Pack, here in the Wolf of Disney podcast, we like to say COVID doesn't exist. So utilize as many different features that Disney has to offer along the way, whether that's Disney Dining Plan, park hopping, whatever the case may be, and just have some fun with it. So I'm excited to hear, Mike. And again, thank you so much for joining us here in the Wolf Den.
Oh, thanks for having me. So I think my perfect day at Disney, I'll get down there probably early afternoon, probably sometime a little bit after lunch, probably get to the hotel. Like I said, I'm not really picky, to be honest with you. Less is more when it comes to hotels because, quite frankly, I'm not going to be there, other than to, sleep, shower, I'm out the door. I'm up at 5 a.m. I want to get going. I want to, even if I have a day to sleep in, just pure excitement. So hotels, Animal Kingdom Lodge looks really nice. I haven't really been there, but that's probably something I would, if I had my choice, I'd probably pick that. Just, it looks good. It has the Disney themes and everything like that. But yeah, so I'd probably get there, check in, get my bags dropped off, but I want to be out the door. Like I said, I don't want to waste any time sitting on a nice comfy bed, because then next thing you know, you fall asleep, take a nap, and 3 hours is gone. And then, pretty much your whole day's pretty much put on a standstill there. So I'm out, I drop my bags off, going to Disney Springs. I'm walking around, eating every carb I can possibly look at. I'm funneling down my mouth. If it has chocolate on it, I'm eating it. When I go down there, I don't like to indulge in unhealthy foods often, but when I'm down there, man, it gets ugly.
The calories don't count in Disney. Exactly.
It was late at night. I was just in my hotel room. I was just eating Twizzlers. I didn't even like them. But next morning, we had to go on the Rock and Roller Coaster at 9 a.m. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing it, man. It's going to be rough. But yeah. I got all through. I got on the ride. So.
There you go.
What's your favorite park snack, Mike?
Probably the best thing I had was I had the Gaston cinnamon bun, the cinnamon roll with the extra icing on it. That was that was nuts. That thing was the size. It was bigger than the plate.
And you got to get the extra icing. Sure.
It's a game changer, really, but. I remember eating it and people were just walking by and they were just like, oh my God, what is wrong with this kid? I was like, I sound like a Darth Vader breathing. I was like, it was just disgusting. What I got the most, I feel like, was probably the Mickey's Caramel Apple with the chocolate cover.
Oh, nice.
I probably got eight or nine of those things, but those things were just.
I think I've only had that once, honestly. Are you a turkey leg guy?
One that I had four. I did get one, but I could definitely go without it. My next trip, I don't think I'll probably waste $6 or something like that. I don't think I'd get it again. But
me and my buddy love it for the photo.
Kind of continue. I think
yeah, please.
My perfect day at Disney would definitely be at Magic Kingdom rope drop right away. Mm-hmm. Try to hop on, obviously, Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, Haunted Mansion right away. Try to get them out of the way. And then I'd obviously eat my body weight and, you know, churros, anything sugary. And then obviously, if you're at Magic Kingdom, you got to get to Space Mountain. You got to do the People Mover. Because like I said, I'm pretty boring. You know, I like moving around down there. But if someone was like, Mike, you just have to sit on this bench all day and just watch people, I'd be like, all right, sweet. I really think I could do that. So I love going on rides as well. The lines can kind of get a little ridiculous at times, but I love going on all the rides, even if it's like it's a small world. I'd go on that two or three times in a row before I get sick of it. But I would
have you're a madman.
Go with Magic Kingdom, I think.
Nice. That's awesome.
I will say yeah, Hollywood Studios. I haven't been to Hollywood Studios since they had Galaxy's Edge, but I think I might take the cake next time I go down there. Big Star Wars guy, so you know.
Nice.
I think from what I've seen online, that you know, going on YouTube and everything, just looking at people doing like walkthrough tours, it looks pretty sweet. So it's definitely gonna be up there for the number one park.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I've kind of been really critical of Hollywood Studios in the past, and they definitely have stepped up their game. I think it still has a long way to go, and maybe that's still a hot take, but Galaxy's Edge, if even for someone like me, I'm a fair weather Star Wars fan. I'm really starting to get into it recently, but they definitely have done a phenomenal job. And for someone who is a big Star Wars guy, you'll absolutely love it. The details down there are incredible, to say the very least. So Ryan still actually has to get over there too to Smuggler's Run. And
I need to inject blue milk into my veins.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty good. I got to admit, it's very good.
I've walked through it. It looks great. On my last trip last year, I go January 1st, so I'll definitely let you know how everything is over there, because I will for sure be indulging in that.
Definitely.
That's awesome, man. So perfect day going over to Magic Kingdom. I'm always cool with that, and I'm sort of in the same boat. You put me on the People Mover, and I could spend the whole day there, truthfully. So I'm right there with you. And a lot of people call me boring, the Wookiee being one of them, but it is a lot of fun, and especially us seasoned veterans, where we've been a few times now at this point, we know how to get around if we wanted to. There's something really satisfying about just sitting and watching everyone else scramble, trying to make plans or trying to get to Space Mountain and overhearing that and overseeing that can be a lot of fun. So definitely right there with you with that in mind, for sure. And Mike, you know, what's interesting is,
plus they have Ron Coaster going in right there too. So you get a pretty good view of that. So I think that would even make it a little bit cooler, you know, going on the People Mover, seeing that.
For sure. Yeah. There's definitely, you know, some things happen at Magic Kingdom that are sort of just exciting. And I think getting on the People Mover and seeing that Tron coaster in the background is one of those things that, you know, I sort of look forward to, because each time we went, it was just like being improved and there was something new to it. And you could sort of pick out the things that were happening. So that is a neat aspect of that ride as well. As I've sort of mentioned, I really do think that getting to know someone through this conversation is always really fun. And I think the other side of this conversation for a lot of people is, you know, how Disney sort of entered our lives. And for many of us, it was through the movies and the films and the songs that sort of were encompassing Disney during that age. And we're sort of all in that same age bracket. So was there a movie, you know, that sort of started it all for you? And you know, we've kind of talked about it on our show a little bit, that Lion King was something that was on repeat constantly. You know, we've had people say the Goofy movie is just one of those films that will stay with them forever. So I'm curious.
That's been weirdly coming up a lot.
It has. So Mike, I'm curious for you, what's that movie? What's that Disney film that just sticks out?
So it's not a Goofy movie, but the pizza from the Goofy movie definitely has been like living in my head rent free since I saw it. It just, they had no business making pizza look that good in a Disney animated movie from 1998 or whatever it was. That's ridiculous. But I think the movie that started it, it's Lion King.
Yeah.
no doubt. Aladdin, the original, you know, Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. I was around that age when Tarzan came out, like Tarzan, Lilo, and Stitch.
Yep.
They all kind of, there was like a 5-year stretch when I was like between like 6 and like 11 where they just made hit after hit. Sure.
Toy Story.
But, you know, they're classics. You know, oh, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc. You can just keep going, you know. I can't really go wrong. I will say there's never really been a Disney animated movie that I've seen that I was like, that was dumb.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure they've, especially the older you get, the more you realize the adult humor they put into them. Even like the movies are just like, wait a second. What? What are they thinking? But the classic movies, you know, I think Lion King is definitely my number one, though. That's the one that I remember. I was like, wow, this is dope.
Yeah. And I think like for, like you said, for a lot of us, when we went back and watched them as adults, it was like, oh, that's what they were talking about? No way. So they definitely had some funny moments along the way. It was really a lot of fun. So with favorites usually comes least favorite. And obviously I think as Disney fans, we try to find the good in every single one of them, but do you have a least favorite, or maybe it's just not the most played one, you know, for you?
I wasn't crazy about Frozen 2. I thought the movie overall, like I could probably watch it, but I just think there's too many songs. I just feel like some of the songs are a little forced.
Yep.
I feel like the original Frozen, the songs were kind of more like genuine, like this is what we wanted to do. And I think Frozen 2, they were just like, wow, every song we had in that movie was a hit. Let's make 30 of them. And I was like, all right. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think
the movie itself, like I wouldn't say I don't like it, but I think
sure
that's something that I, you know, I'm like, ah, come on.
There was like six songs in the first 9 minutes.
Yeah. It had a very musical-esque feel to it that not everyone was wild about. There were some awesome songs within it, but they could have picked out some of the others that really didn't need to be there. I do sort of agree with that. So speaking of songs and speaking of music, is there a particular song for you that's on your playlist and always finds the spot for you?
One song that always sticks out to me is "Go the Distance" from Hercules.
Nice. Yep.
I don't know. Don't know why. I couldn't tell you why. I just think it's an amazing. I don't know if it's the instruments. I don't know what it is, but I think that's one of my favorite songs. And I think, honestly, I kind of forgot about it until when I went in 2018 and I was watching the Happily Ever After fireworks. Mm-hmm. It started playing and I just like, it was like, I knew it, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I just knew. I'm like, oh, Go the Distance. And I was like, Go the Distance. What is I was like, oh yeah, it's a song from Hercules. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
but
great answer. Think
of songs, actually, I think more of soundtracks, if that makes sense.
Nice. Of course.
I know I mentioned Tarzan. Phil Collins just next out of the park. Hit it out of the park with that.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Lilo and Stitch, that soundtrack too.
That was a good one too.
Moana. Sure. I mean, they're just the whole soundtrack. It's not a bad song on anything, like, but those are the ones that I like think of really. But
no, for sure, and you know, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Hercules and Go the Distance and to bring in Happily Ever After, you know, there is that moment when you sort of hear the French horns and the trumpets just kind of hit you with that ultimate theme of Hercules, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that one, and that is a pretty cool moment for sure. No, that's awesome. So I'm a big music guy. I think you remember that. Our audience knows that. So I always love getting to know everybody's favorite music tastes. But right now, Mike, I'd love to bring you back over to the parks, and I'd love to know sort of what your favorite park is currently. And I know you sort of said earlier that you think Hollywood Studios may actually, you know, be one of those up near the top because of everything they've got going on. But I'm curious. What's your favorite park, and is it Magic Kingdom? Is that part of the reason why you chose it for your perfect day?
Yeah, I think I'd probably go with Magic Kingdom right now. I'll be honest, I haven't been to Epcot since I was like 11 years old.
Okay.
But from what I've heard, you know, they have that, what's that restaurant? It's like Via Napoli, the pizza restaurant.
Yep.
They have their drinking around the world. So like, that's definitely something that, you know, would pique my curiosity to do something like that. So,
yep.
Mike, you're speaking my language.
Pizza and alcohol. I mean, what's better? hopefully I go back 2021 sometime around July, and I can kind of test that out. Some of the rides I heard are really nice in Epcot. But there's something about that Magic Kingdom. I think it's Main Street. I think it's Main Street USA mm-hmm. that kind of really, again, I could spend my whole day at the park on Main Street, just kind of watching everyone go by and eating an unhealthy amount of ice cream and stuff like that. But
there's just something about the sights and the smells and just everything, the people watching. You're definitely speaking my language.
Yeah, and you just don't get it anywhere else.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, there's other, you know, theme parks you can go to. I mean, that, you know, you'll have fun at, but it's just not, once you go to Disney World, once you go to Magic Kingdom, you always compare it to that. You know, you can go to Magic Kingdom one day, you can go to Universal the next day, and it's just like, well, it's good. I like Universal, but it's not quite Magic Kingdom. It's not like Disney World. They're both probably equally expensive, but I mean, you're getting a lot out of right. it though. So
I'm also curious, Mike, you know, so Magic Kingdom, favorite park. I love that. And I think, you know, it's usually a toss up between Magic Kingdom and Epcot for me, but I'm curious, do you have a favorite ride within those parks, and what is it?
I love roller coasters. Probably in Magic Kingdom, I think Splash Mountain is probably my favorite ride. I know it's not like a roller coaster, but I think it's sure. just, I think that was, might have been the first ride I actually went on.
Oh, wow.
When I was like 8 or 9, I'm pretty sure it was. I can't remember. But when I was younger, I was like a chicken. I hated everything. I would like cry going down Splash Mountain.
Sure.
I would like be in like my dad's armpit crying. And he was just like, dude, well, you got to be kidding me. But I would definitely say the Big Thunder Splash Space Mountain, obviously, for Magic. Can't really pick a wrong choice there, in my not opinion. But you know, when you move over to like Hollywood, it's Rock and Roller Coaster every day of the week for me. I can do that. I think I actually did that ride 3 or 4 times in a row, just because we got really lucky and there was a really short wait. Then we had a fast pass and there was a really short wait. So we essentially got on like 3 times in a row. Me, my sister, and one of my nieces, I still laugh at her face every day when I see like the magic photo pass of her, like her eyes closed, like neck muscles and veins like sticking out because she was just terrified. But
yeah, she wanted. I've got a classic one of those too.
It sounds like my favorite. I was gonna say it sounds like Ethan.
Yeah, I struggle with that one a little bit.
Ethan and my 9-year-old niece.
That's right. We could sit next to one another. We'll get through it together.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. We won't know who's screaming. We won't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not at all. Definitely. That's too funny.
And then I can't talk about rides without talking about Everest.
Sure.
I think that's just an amazing. I didn't go on it until my trip a couple of years ago, and I didn't know it went like invert. I didn't know it went backwards. Everyone kind of. I think my brother-in-law, my sisters might have mentioned it, but I just wasn't. I think, what are you guys talking about? Just go backwards? Like, look at it. But we got to that point, and I was like, uh-oh, where do we go from here? And then it just went back as fast as it does. And I was like, kind of like, as if it was some icy hot on my neck that night, because I didn't really know what to do. And I was just kind of like bobbling my head around. But Everest, I mean, they have like the dinosaur ride over in Dino Land. That's an amazing one. Avatar, you know, rides like that. It's just those are the rides. Very few rides I'll wait like over an hour for, but those are the rides that, you know, I'll wait 75 minutes for if I have to.
Sure. Definitely. No, it's always funny to find out, you know, and maybe later on at some point we'll do a segment with a returning guest to figure out how long they'll wait for stuff. I think that would be kind of fun, but it's always fun to find that out. Like, how long would you wait for something like Dinosaur? How long would you wait for Flight of Passage? So it's interesting, you know, but I think we all have similar answers at the end of the day. Now, forgive me, is there a particular spot on property that, Mike, you love to go eat with the family and the rest of your party?
I know a lot of people love the 50s Diner. Mm-hmm. I do not. They are terrifying, those waitresses. They are just the most intimidating group of older women I've ever seen in my life. But
yeah.
I do like the look of everything, like the theme. I'm pretty simple, man. You know, I actually, when I'm down there, I don't really want to sit down, you know, and eat for an hour and a half dinner or lunch. I like quick service.
Give me the chicken nuggets and fries and let me get out of here.
Yep. Give me that cheap $1 hamburger that costs $8. I'll do it every single time, you know?
Yeah.
I want to keep moving. I want to keep, you know, keep moving. It is nice, you know, to plan a day, you know, to plan a night, maybe get reservations somewhere. I know this past year we had reservations to be our guest.
Nice.
I was kind of looking forward to that because Beauty and the Beast is just, you know, an amazing movie with that soundtrack. It's just amazing to listen to. Sometimes I listen to Disney songs when I'm working out, but I was dying to try the Gray stuff because I heard it's delicious. So
yeah.
that was like top of my list. All I wanted to eat. Don't know what it is.
Clever. It's actually a really great spot. They changed the menu a little bit. Goodness, probably about 2 years ago now, I want to say. And they've got it so it's a full 3-course meal. So you get it's either a salad or a soup. Their French onion soup is phenomenal. If you like French onion soup, I'd highly recommend it. Then they do either like a beef, a steak, like they have a fish option and a couple others. And then you have a dessert at the end for the whole 3-course. I think it's like $79 or something like that for all three. But great spot. And really what you're paying for at the end of the day, the food's great, but you're really paying for the atmosphere and the overall look and feel of everything because it is, the moment you walk in, it blows you away. It really is cool in there for sure. So I'll be excited to hear your review when you are able to get in there, because it definitely is worth, in my opinion, it's worth at least going once, you know, just to see it, just to, you know, have that atmosphere, because there's really cool essence of Beauty and the Beast within it. So it's really, really neat for sure.
One place real quick I had to talk about was Beaches and Cream. I needed to do the kitchen sink ice cream. Nice. I need to try. I wanted to go last time. Again, just because I was just so busy, just, you know, even on nights that we didn't have much planned, like, you know, my brother-in-law and I would just go to Disney Springs, or we all went to, like, me, my sister, and my brother-in-law went to Animal Kingdom one night, and we just, you know, get Yak and Yetis for a little bit, went on some roller coasters after, so that was kind of an experience. But I made a little bet with my family that I could do the whole kitchen sink by myself, so that'll be a challenge.
I can someday,
so I will try it.
I can definitely speak. Let's call it a friend of mine has accomplished that. It's me. I did that.
Is that you?
It was me. Yeah. Shamefully, yes.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, that's pretty cool.
So it had to all be for you.
Yeah.
Cool. It says it's for two, but.
Well. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's definitely a cool spot. It kind of has an old diner feel to it. It really is just an awesome place to hang out and be in. So Mike, the last sort of question in this little segment here is, obviously, when you go to the parks, one of the pluses is you also get to meet some of your favorite Disney characters. Do you have a favorite Disney character? Is there a favorite character to meet within the parks? And if not, is there someone that you would also like to see within the parks that would be kind of cool?
Rey Skywalker holds a special place in my heart.
Sure.
Dude, why have you never introduced me to this kid before?
Yeah.
There you go.
You've literally given all my answers.
I don't know what happened actually last time we met. She wasn't doing photo shoot or like whatever you want to call it. We weren't able to meet her. Yeah. We were able to meet Chewie and Kylo Ren.
Yep.
I had a little beef with him at that point, but it's all good now. It was all settled. Me and Ben are good. We're on speaking terms again. So, but other than Riley, I think, if you meet, you have to see Mickey and Minnie. For sure. You have to see the classic characters. Donald. When I was like 9 or 10, I think I cried one day because I didn't meet Donald.
Oh no.
I wanted to meet Donald Duck so bad. Yeah, no. Yeah. I didn't even know why I cried because we were there for like 2 weeks and my parents were like, dude, we're gonna see him. Like, we're coming back. And I was like, I was like bawling my eyes out for no reason. But
that's funny.
I think someone a character I'd want to meet now is Stitch.
Oh, that would be cool.
I think Stitch is probably, yeah.
I've met Stitch over by Space Mountain. That's where you'll find him.
Yeah, every once in a while, he'll make a random appearance in Stitch's old escape in that little area. You can sometimes find him for sure. So definitely be on the lookout. But he doesn't come out as often as I think he should. One thing that Maggie many moons ago when we started this said, she'd love to see Carl Fredrickson, and I think that that's still a great answer to put with Kevin and Russell over in Animal Kingdom. I think that would be a lot of fun. You also have Kevin over there now too, so you could have the whole gang. Just hire this old crotchety old man who sort of looks like him, and just sit him down and have him like yell at all the kids, "Get away from me! Get off my lawn!" That would just be so much fun. Definitely. Good stuff.
Friends, Wolfpack, before we get into this next segment, let's take a brief break. Let's go wash our hands. Let's go work on our homework. Let's go do whatever it is that we need to do. Or maybe we've got to head in the work. We're listening on our ride in. So let's take just a brief moment to sort of pause, do some things that we need to get done, and we will see you real soon.
Hiya pals, thank you so much for listening. Please take a moment to go give us a 5-star review over on Apple. We would greatly appreciate it, and it helps our podcast grow. Mike, I'm gonna sort of promote you a little bit here. You just became an Imagineer at Disney. And the whole resort is at question, and that is everything from the as small as the app to the resorts to restaurants to parks to you name it. Is there anything within Disney that you would change? Is there anything that you'd like to create? And I sort of just say everything is in question when Mike's the Imagineer. So is there anything in particular that you would sort of switch around?
So I was thinking about this, and I know it's not possible because of the legal contract they have with Marvel. Like, they can't do Marvel products like east side of the Mississippi, which is probably the dumbest contract in the history of contracts. I tried to look into it. Sure. I'm just not smart enough to understand any of that stuff. So it was a quick Google search. When I closed it out, I was like, okay, I went to school for justice, but I'm not gonna get into that. So
I hear you.
But I think if they were able, if they could do a Marvel like an Avengers theme park. I think that would just blow the competition out of the water. I just think I can't help but keep thinking of like an Avengers role. Like each Avenger would have a roller coaster, and then Thanos would have a roller coaster.
That'd be cool.
Like Thanos's coaster would just be some of the craziest stuff.
Diabolical. Yeah. Gotta
like,
be crazy.
Almost like to a point of people dying. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like I think the track, the track should come off the roller coaster at a small like a period of time, like that dangerous. Just because it's Thanos. And like that would be just something that would be unbelievable. I just keep trying to imagine how cool they could make that. Because I mean, I don't really know. Again, I haven't gone to Toy Story Land yet because it opened up right after I left. I haven't gone to Galaxy's Edge, but from what I've seen, it's like its own thing, Galaxy's Edge. So,
yeah,
that's something I think.
It sort of reminded me of, you know, how in Epcot, when you go into Mexico, it really does feel like you stepped into Mexico, and same to China and Norway and all those different areas. And when you step into Toy Story Land, it feels like you're a toy. You know, you're shorter than short, and you're looking up at Woody, and it's really a cool feeling. And the same goes for Galaxy's Edge, because depending on which way you go in, if you go in from Toy Story side, it is. It's like stepping into this whole other universe. So it really is pretty incredible the way that that works. So I think I really do think you'll be amazed at how detailed and how well done everything is. So it'll be really cool for you for sure.
Especially
and love the idea of a Marvel park. Have to push that aside. Love that.
It'd be an entire park. It wouldn't even be like a branch from a park. It would be its own thing because there's so many opportunities that you can do.
Especially
with what they're doing now with, you know, Disney Plus and that having all of these streaming service like shows and you know, I think unfortunately they can't do it. I don't know if they'll ever be able to, but that's just something I think would be incredible. But other than that, I think I would actually add more adult, like older adolescent, like rides. You know, I was talking to my mom, who is like a huge Disney. She's a guru. She can plan anyone's trip at any given time within 2 hours. Sure. She'll have your entire thing mapped out. But she would mention, like, you know, there's not a lot of villains. You don't see many villains in parks.
It's true.
But I was just thinking, like, how cool would it be if you just saw, like, Hades have his own roller coaster or, you know, Maleficent, you know, instead of just seeing them on an occasional, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, you know, walkthrough parade, they have, like, their own attraction. Because people love villains, especially when we get older. A lot of times we, like, relate to them. We're like, oh, maybe he's got a point, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of see where they're coming from. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I
we did have someone come on the show, Mark. I'm Mike. We had someone come on the show that actually, like you said, have a Marvel park. We had someone, Gene, had the idea of a villain park, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. And I think it was Maleficent's castle that would be like in the background. Like that would be the, you know, the foreground, you know, sort of picturesque. Definitely. I think, you know, the more and more that I've talked to people, I think a fifth gate is something that's talked about pretty frequently. And I think what's interesting is Disney does have maybe not the legal ability to do something with Marvel, but they do have the space to do another park. So it will be interesting to see if something like that were to happen in the future. I don't think it's going to happen until after we're out of the pandemic and after Epcot's done and, you know, all those other obligations that they have right now. But I do think that a fifth gate is something that they'll have to consider at some point. And to go further onto your Marvel point, you know, in talking to, you know, friends over on the West Coast, something that they brag about all the time is their ability to have this whole Marvel area, and definitely a little bit jealous of that for sure. So it would be nice if we could have it over here, though. I have to agree for sure. So good stuff, man. I love it. So Mike, I've got to ask, you know, what are some of your own tips? Is there anything in particular now that you've kind of become a seasoned veteran and going to Disney, Is there anything that when I like to pose it this way, when a friend or a family member or someone who hasn't been to Disney in a long time or is going for the first time, is there something in particular that they say to you like, hey, Mike, what can you tell me about Disney that I should know? So what are some of your own wolf tips in regards to going to Disney?
I think I actually talked to one of my friends about this shortly after my last trip. I'm a pretty relaxed person. You know, I'm pretty low key. But I think that's probably like my best advice if I give to people. Obviously, everyone's kind of wired differently. But I just try to have them like, dude, just go in, have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do anything about an hour and 30 minute wait for a roller coaster. So if you're after 10 minutes in line, if you're going to start like being grumpy and being negative towards everyone around you, like just don't wait in the line. Like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think that's like my biggest advice. Just kind of go in there with patience, you know, with the expectation that you're going to have to wait for things, but it's going to be worth it. Cause at the end of the day, everyone's there, you know. We don't know how much money and time goes into planning one of these vacations. And I don't think anyone goes there with the intentions of being miserable and grumpy. I know the heat kind of plays a factor in that, but
it can.
you know, I just went, like, dude, when I went down there, I'm not even lying. Like, I saw people, like, flip out, like, really close to me. And I was like, all right, man, like, do you. But it's not going to affect my day because I'm down here to have a good time. So,
yeah.
Just relax, you know. Just relax, have fun.
Hey, man, great advice. Wolfpack, I hope you're listening because that is stellar advice. Because at the end of the day, like you said, there's nothing you can do if it starts to rain, if you're hot, if the kids are crying, if you're crying, whatever it may be. You know, there's really no avoiding that, and there's no out at that point. You know, so let it be what it'll be. Take a deep breath. You're in Disney World. You're in the happiest place in the world, the most magical place in the world. Just take a deep breath. Just try to enjoy it. You know, that's great, great advice. And I think it's something that needs to be, it almost needs to be said in the parks a little bit more often to some people, but it's definitely something that makes a lot of sense.
That's actually something I did want to mention about the being in the parks is, like I was saying, like, you know, I've seen people almost like unleash, you know, their innermost, like, you know, demons on cast members who are just, you know, kids in college with internships essentially, and they handle it like, you know, absolute bosses. They're just like, oh, you know, this is what we can do, we can help you, like, don't worry. And it's like, what? Dude's yelling at you, you're a 20-year-old kid. His full-grown hands are screaming at your face, and they're just completely like, I've talked to people like, you know, who were just making ice cream, and I was like, oh, like, you know, he was super super professional, he was super friendly, gave me like an extra scoop of ice cream, and I tried to tip him, and he's like, no, we can't accept tips. And I was like, what if I just like leave it here and I like push it to you? And he's like, no, we can't. And I was like, what if I just like meet you on your break and give it to you? And he's like, dude, don't worry about it, it's like, it's fine. I'm like, all right, man. Like, I do appreciate it. So the people that work there really play a huge factor into the whole atmosphere. I think, I don't know.
No, it's something that I think, you know, Ryan and I have talked to pretty extensively. The cast members there are top notch. I mean, they just genuinely hire phenomenal people from the top down. And that's, you know, for the most part, I think there's always scrutiny towards the top, but when you talk about the lower levels, the people that are in your face every single day and, you know, hand-to-hand combat, if you will, you know, with us as guests, I mean, they do a phenomenal job. They always are able to stay calm in situations like you mentioned, for the most part. And I think, you know, with anything, we're all human. So anytime anyone erupts in your face, it's kind of difficult to remain calm. At least it would be for me. You know, so when they handle that with grace, it really is just something that you notice and you pick up on. And it's part of the reason why, you know, people just continue to go back, because they have that phenomenal magical experience that everybody sort of talks about. So no, great, great point. Is there, and just simply out of curiosity, is there a favorite memory, Mike, from any of your trips that sort of just sticks out to you as like the number one?
When I was younger, not so much, because of, you know, most of the chips go by, like, you know, they're just like a blur at some point. Sure. Because you're always moving, you're always, you know, doing different things. But this past trip I had, there were two moments that I kind of remember, like, kind of just pausing and just kind of, you know, soaking it all in. I think it was my first time. It was our first, we got down there. We didn't go to the parks our first day, but the first, like, actual day down there, we went to Magic Kingdom, and my whole family, I kind of walked ahead because I don't have patience to, like, stop and talk about what we're gonna do. Walked ahead, so I was walking kind of like on Main Street towards the castle, and I, like, just turned around and I saw, like, my whole family, and it was, like, legitimately my whole family at, like, Main Street. And I saw, like, I was like, oh, like, this is real, this is, we're actually here.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone was in a good mood, like, we were all, like, joking and laughing. I was like, okay. And then, like, at that point, I actually fell back. I, like, on purpose, and just took, like, a picture of this, like, my whole family. And you could, ironically enough, almost see everyone because where they were all placed. And this is pre COVID. So, like, there's thousands of people in the park at Rope Drop. So I don't know how I got the picture with almost no one else in the background or kind of in front of me, but I was able to get that. And then the second one, so my oldest sister and three of my nieces left a couple of days before us. But one day we were in Hollywood Studios to see the Fantasmic show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there was something about that night. It was just so, like, just relaxing. We were just we were one of the first people in there. It was like me and my sister and my brother-in-law on one bench, and my niece and nephew were behind us or in front of us, but, like, we just had one row to ourselves, and we were just kind of talking. And it was, like, one of those moments where I just kind of, like, fell back, and I was just, like, kind of just soaking in that moment. But, like, those are really the two memories I think of actually the most, like, you know, having a rough day at work or something like that. It's kind of get you through those times to look forward to the next trip.
Definitely. No, it's always really sort of just incredible how when you're at Disney, you do sort of have moments like that where you almost reflect and you're just super excited to be there with the people that you love or your family. And you're absolutely correct. Like, work, school, everything that was maybe melting your brain 24 hours before or 48 hours before, whatever the case may have been, just sort of melts away. And you just can sort of relish in the fact that you're there, you're with the people that you love, and you get to enjoy, you know, the next however long you get to stay there and not even have to really worry about those things. So it is, I think everybody can attest to a moment where they're on vacation and they all always just seem to have all those other things that are in here just sort of, you know, dissipate from your own mind for a little while. So it really is a phenomenal feeling.
One quick thing I would mention to people if they're still listening after this 45, yeah, 46 minutes, actually, my other set of advice would be to take pictures.
Yes. Great.
That's just awesome. Because, you know, I think my last time there, I took a good amount of pictures, but not nearly enough. I know we had, like, the magic band, the photo pass, whatever, but yeah. There's nothing like really having them on your phone. Mm-hmm. So whenever you stop and, like, you see, like, a good view or you see something that, you know, you just think is, like, amazing, it won't hurt to take, you know, what, I don't know how long it would take to get your phone out, unlock it, take a picture, like, 8 seconds maybe.
Yeah,
but I definitely regret not taking any more pictures, but something I'm definitely going to be doing next time I go.
For sure. No, and I love that because I think it's funny. I went in October, and one of the things that I said to a couple of people was, I hope I take more pictures. And I always say that with, like, the absolute expectation that I'm going to take more. And then I just take it all in and I don't take enough. So, and actually I think you were even one of the people who were like, make sure you take a lot of photos, take some videos for me. And I was just like, I forgot all about it. But it's yeah, definitely something that that we need to make sure that you do. I love that. Great answer, Mike. So Mike, first and foremost, I do again just really want to thank you for being on the show and taking the time out of your schedule. It means a lot to me to bring someone like you on. I mean, we obviously knew each other in college, and while we weren't necessarily in the same social circle, I just remember you being a great kid and always having a great positive attitude. So I really appreciate you coming out and being a part of this with me and Ryan. It means a lot. And I do want to bring you over to a Wolf game that I think, based off of your imagineering, I think you'll really enjoy. And based off of a picture I saw of you on Facebook, I think I know one of your answers at the very least. But I'd love for you to create your Marvel Mount Rushmore and let us know who your four prominent figures of Marvel are. And I think for most. The first couple are easy. It gets difficult at three and four. So I'll be interested to hear what your answers are, Mike. And again, just thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. I actually remember my first time ever at Anamaria. You actually gave me my tour. It was me and my dad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you remember this, but you were walking backwards out of the calf, and it was like a puddle, and it was like a 4-foot drop, and you like fell in the puddle, like one of your legs did, and you were like, "Oh, that's great."
Yeah. Yep.
But it was such, you just kind of kept walking and going through with it. And my dad was like, "Dude, that kid was actually hilarious," and he was really impressed with like how well you conducted yourself, because that pretty much, that would have ruined my day. That I would have been out. I would have been like, you know what? Come here if you want, but I'm going back to my room. But you just kind of, you just trucked along, you just went through it. And
it means a lot that you remember that, because I remember it very vividly. I was very embarrassed. But I do remember. Yeah. Hey, I remember I gave 365 tours at that school, and I can't remember exactly what number Mr. Mike Curley was with his father, but I do remember that day. And I took that job probably more seriously than I should have. But I'm glad you remember that, Mike. And most certainly, hopefully your memories, your good memories of Anamaria stick with you forever. That's what I'll say.
My Mount Rushmore for Marvel.
Yes, sir.
So are we doing the MCU or are we doing the comics? Does it matter? Should we do the MCU to make it easier?
No, you can do whatever you want. This is your Mount Rushmore. But if it'll be easier, I can say and have it be that way if it needs to be. But it's entirely up to you, man.
Cap and Iron Man and Thor.
Okay.
Right away. Those are my three. Whoa.
Boom, 1, 2, 3, right off the bat.
I'm having. Yeah, so Thor would actually be my number one. Thor would.
Nice.
I just think, you know, Chris Hemsworth kills that. I just love the character that they, even in Endgame, people were like, "Oh, I hate how they had a bro Thor." And I was just like, "Dude, shut up." They killed it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
At number four, spot, man, that's tough. You know, I'm a big Thanos guy, but okay. I know a lot of people wouldn't be happy if I had, you know, the big bad villain instead of.
It's not. I wouldn't beloved, hate it.
You know, Spider-Man.
I wouldn't hate it. Spider-Man's a good one. I'm a big fan of Spider-Man.
We've had someone say Thanos. That's
you know,
not.
I'm gonna go with Thanos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going with Thanos.
Good stuff. No, that's
he was great.
He was. He was. He was a bad dude. Big bad. Love it.
Oh yeah. He didn't mess around one bit. I just thought his voice and his facial impressions and reactions with his eyes and everything. I just thought it was just unbelievable how they their cast. Marvel's MCU's casting is unbelievable, in my opinion. But
I mean, one of the best scenes was the four of your. Yeah. I mean, when the three of them showed off with Thanos in Endgame was monumental.
I was I was thinking about getting that in that scene when Thor has the bearded the braided beard, and he has Mjolnir and Stormbreaker, and he has like all like the lightning and electricity going through him. I was considering getting that tattooed.
Oh, on, wow.
My calf or something, just because like, that was just such a cool moment. And then obviously Thor goes for the head every single swing he takes. Just thought like little things like that was just unbelievable. I was like, oh yeah, this is this is next level. This is I don't know about you guys, but I remember my first two or three times seeing that, I was like in tears just watching that final like battle, that whole like last hour of it. I was like, just, I'm sure a lot of people like had that reaction.
Sure.
You know, when the portals opened up and you were like, well, this
never came. Yeah, it was an emotional moment. Sure.
Yeah.
I went opening night and the whole theater was standing up screaming. So,
It was an emotional roller coaster for sure.
We had a couple of my buddies from high school. We all went opening night, and so they ended up playing it in Millbury, Millbury Movie Theaters. And I think they had it in almost every single theater. We got there 2 hours early, and we were in one of the main theaters that have like the max seating. I'm not lying, man. We were in like the fourth line to get into the theater because they just kept going down hallways. They had to open emergency exits.
Yep.
And I was like, dude, this is for a movie. this is nuts.
Yeah. Pre-COVID too. So it's even weirder to think about moments like that now that everything's going on. Like that would never happen given like the current state of the world. It's so crazy how quickly everything changed, but that's a conversation for a whole nother day. But that I do remember hearing almost the horror stories of everybody trying to get tickets, trying to get in, trying to wait in the lines. And it was huge. I'm almost happy that I sort of gravitated towards Marvel later on because I wouldn't have been able to deal with that. I don't know that
people were dressed up in costumes at the movie theater.
I mean, I'll admit I did that for Harry Potter, but I don't know that I could have done that for Marvel. So good stuff. Hey, Mike, thank you again. Really appreciate the time. You know, like I said, anytime that we can get somebody else on here to talk Disney with us and break up our banter, and I just really appreciate it. And I hope that you and your family have an awesome holiday season, and hopefully 2021 is better to all of us. I think we need it. And as always, you know, thank you just really for being a member of our Wolfpack and listening to the show. We really appreciate that too. It means a lot, goes a long way. And you know, feel free to tell your friends and family if they want to come on and be a member of the Wolfpack and sit in the Wolf Den with the Wookiee and I. They're always welcome. And thank you so much. Just really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on and letting me kind of rant on thing for a little bit. But you know, I'm pretty constantly listening to the show. If you guys ever want to have me back, you guys feel like having someone tell corny jokes and have poorly timed sense of jokes and everything like that and punchlines delivered. So anytime you guys want me back on, just let me know and we'll figure something out.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really appreciate the time, Mike. Thank you again. As always, Wolfpack, please be kind, wash your hands, and we will